you please wake up this morning and give her an enthusiastic reception, Governor Kim Reynolds.
God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. I told Bob I'd be happy to take him on the road with me. We'd make an incredible team, I think. So, wow, look at this audience. This is so incredible. God is on the move, right? Yay. So I have a little bit of a cold, and it's a cold, so I apologize if my voice is a little bit raspy, and hopefully I don't start coughing. Kevin and I, as you know, have 11 grandchildren, and this grandma, when I get a chance to be with them, I'm going to get in their face and love them up and kiss them. So as I'm loving up our youngest one, Everly, she's 8 months old, I said, oh, honey, you got a fever. You're not feeling well. Grandma loves you. And so I made it through 3 days, and I thought, hey, I did not get that cold. And then it hit me. So I wouldn't change a thing. I'm just telling you that. They are carriers. But anyway, it is such an honor to be with you this morning. And I want to thank Bob for that introduction. I appreciate what he does so much. And I can't even begin to express how grateful I am for the family leader support. And even more importantly, and I say this all of the time, for the continual prayers that we've received. Bob, you and your network has been an unwavering source of strength and encouragement, not only for me, but my team and our legislators, but for Iowans all across this great state. And during the pandemic, the Family Leaders Church Ambassador Network, which many of you I'm sure are involved in, they helped congregations throughout Iowa find different ways that they could help our communities. You guys made masks, they supported local food banks, they delivered meals to seniors, and they held blood drives. So I'd like to say that, you know, Iowans know how to turn obstacles into opportunities, which is something that Iowa's faith community put on full display throughout the COVID-19 response. And I'm pretty proud to say that unlike other states, Iowa never closed our churches or religious gatherings down. But that also meant that churches had increased responsibilities to keep their congregations safe. And from streaming worship services to creating drive-in services to responsibly keeping churches open, every single one of them found new ways to give glory to God. So I want to thank you. I want to thank the Church Ambassador Network for their tireless work. This is an incredible partnership that has been such a blessing to our state. And you know, in government, you often hear about successful public-private partnerships where governments partner with private sector companies to grow the economy. What we don't hear about as often, though we should, are government partnerships with nonprofits and faith-based organizations who help our state grow in faith and virtue and support the people who need it most. So one of the pandemic's silver linings is it actually strengthened, I believe, these faith-based partnerships in Iowa, and Iowa is stronger for it. I believe without hesitation that it's going to pay dividends on longer-term initiatives like child care, foster care prevention, mental health, substance abuse prevention and recovery, all of which the family leader has already proven to be an instrumental partner. Groups like the Family Leader have always been mission-critical organizations, but never more so than today. And with a new administration in office, those traditional faith and values of Americans, that threat to that, that they face is a renewed threat. It's a grim reality, but one which makes that faith and those values more important than ever. They should be declared proudly and lived boldly. The goods of virtue and freedom, family and community, love and mercy draw a striking contrast with what's on offer today in Washington, D.C. And it's critical that we're crystal clear about what's being offered. This current administration speaks about unity while promoting a radical social agenda backed by extreme liberal activists and corporations. Among other things, it includes an assault on our First and Second Amendment rights, the federal takeover of our elections, taxpayer-funded abortions, abortions on demand, the demotion of religious liberty to a second-class right, the elevation of angry, ever-shifting moral code of wokeness, bailouts, tax hikes, lockdowns, open borders, closed schools. Believe me, this is not an agenda for Iowa, and it is not an agenda for our country. It threatens the very principles on which America was founded, which proclaim that our rights to life, to religious freedom, to self-defense, and more must be protected by government because they're given to us by God Himself. It's at times like these we're grateful that the framers of our Constitution saw the wisdom of federalism, ensuring us that the national government isn't the only game in town. Their foresight enables states like Iowa, with the support of groups like this one, to act as a counterweight, and that is exactly what we're doing in Iowa. We're taking a stand. So as some continue to wring their hands about allowing children to learn in the classroom, we refuse to allow special interest groups to cloud the unmistakable scientific evidence that children could safely return to in-person learning. Kids were absolutely not meant to learn over Zoom, and it shows. K-12 students nationwide have fallen behind at alarming rates, and sadly, the unions and the school boards have done little to help, and we didn't tolerate that in Iowa. Before the new school year even opened, with this legislature, I signed legislation requiring that schools must provide primarily in-person instruction and to focus on core subjects. And in January, I signed the first of its kind law requiring all schools to give families the option of sending their children back to the classroom full-time, 5 days a week, all day. So I believe without hesitation that the pandemic certainly has demonstrated how important parental control is and just how fragile it can be. And that's why I proposed the Students First Act this past legislative year, because we know that we make education stronger by empowering parents to choose the best path for their children's education. I was so proud to sign legislation that expands charter schools, tax credit for private schools, and open enrollment, banned mask mandates, hold school boards accountable for improving student achievement, require schools to start their day with the Pledge of Allegiance. Yay! This is America! And we banned critical race theory and any curriculum or training that teaches that the United States or Iowa is fundamentally racist or sexist. While this administration hedged, paying lip service to school reopenings, even as it placated the teachers' unions, Iowa acted and other states followed our lead. Our actions gave families choice and control. And those words, choice and control, should in fact be the guiding principle of all education policy. And we're coming back next year, and we're going to continue to put parents in charge and continue to give you the choice in your children's education. I don't have to tell anyone in this room that our nation is at a crossroads. While it's easy to get lost in the noise or the online rage machine, don't get discouraged and don't lose sight of what's at stake. We know the administration's ideas are broken and they're breaking this country. They're about mandates and not personal responsibility. We know that Republican principles work. We know that freedom works, and we know that because that's what we're doing in Iowa. And it is and the contrast is stark. For example, this administration wants to federalize elections, taking power away from states, creating taxpayer-funded elections, and repealing voter ID. In March, I signed our election integrity bill. Again, thank you, legislature, for leading, which ensures that our elections are fair, secure, and free from fraud. It strengthens uniformity in early and election day voting, database maintenance, and promotes accountability with tougher penalties for election misconduct. And when it comes to rioting and disrespecting and the disrespect of our men and women in blue, this administration, they support defunding our police, and we're seeing an increase in crimes across this country because of it. But in Iowa, we showed that you can come together, both parties, to pass police reform while also showing support for our brave law enforcement who put their lives on the line every single day. I was so proud to sign the Back the Blue that gives our law enforcement the tools that they need to keep our citizens and our communities safe. And the bill says that if you riot, if you loot, if you attack our officers, then you will be punished to the full extent of the law. Don't break the law. And if local governments refuse to stop the rioting by not allowing law enforcement to do their job, they also will be held accountable. And when it comes to fiscal responsibility, what the administration is doing can only be described as radical, reckless, and irresponsible. In the first four months, as president, President Biden he proposed over $8 trillion in new spending. We're seeing inflation on the rise, the price of gas, groceries, vehicles, all of that is increasing. They're now talking about a reconciliation bill. And in Iowa, we countered that. With property and income tax relief for Iowans, we eliminated the inheritance tax, we increased funding for mental health, and invested $100 million in broadband connectivity for our state. We just closed fiscal year 21, and I'm proud of where we're at, and it's because we kept our economy open that it made a significant impact in our workers, our businesses, and our state. So we just closed fiscal year 21 with a projected over $500 million surplus and over $1 billion in cash reserves. And again, we've enacted policies, I think, that improve our communities and keep them safe while making our state a great place to live, work, and raise a family. So I think sometimes when you kind of step back and you look at what's happening across this country, it's striking to me just how out of touch this administration is when it comes to the public at large. And to be clear, I said it's striking, but it's not surprising, especially when you look at the incredibly important issues of protecting the unborn. The vast majority of Americans and Iowans see abortion on demand up until the moment of birth as exactly what it is, the termination of a precious human life. Most have absolutely no interest in seeing taxpayer dollars support such a sickening practice. They have no interest in seeing medical professionals forced to participate. So I don't understand why a unifying president, why do they do it? Why do they support repealing the Hyde Amendment? Why do they support legislation that would effectively make it illegal for a physician to decline to perform one? Well, The answer is that the pro-abortion Planned Parenthood activists, they comprise his base and they demand policies like that. It's of little importance that the vast majority oppose them. And these extreme measures are coming out of Washington, D.C., whether we like it or not. And it's for this reason that the Iowa Family Leader and groups like it, and all of you, are so important. The power of informed, patriotic Americans bringing their faith boldly into the public square and seeking to influence government at all levels, it cannot be overestimated. Over the years, it has helped sustain and encourage me and legislators over and over again, which is a big reason why my administration has become one of the most pro-life in the country. We've worked every year to defend the unborn and defund Planned Parenthood. Just a few weeks ago, we won a critical Iowa Supreme Court case upholding the law to prevent taxpayer dollars from going to Planned Parenthood. Within a year of becoming governor, I signed the fetal heartbeat bill, and at that time, we were only the third state in the country to implement such an important law, and since then, Bob kind of alluded to it, 8 other states have passed it. Yay! We also passed a common sense law requiring a 72-hour waiting period before obtaining an abortion. Unfortunately, it's stuck in the courts. The Supreme Court struck down the law and took the unprecedented step of reading a so-called right to abortion into the state constitution. The Iowa Chief Justice further ruled that the abortion restrictions in Iowa should be subject to an even higher, as you all know, standard than the federal level. And it's worth noting that the federal standard already makes America's abortion laws some of the most permissive in the world. So, in other words, it is unconscionable what we saw happen here. But thankfully, neither the people of Iowa were willing to look past such an abuse of power. And in my condition of the state address in 2020, I called on the legislature to put forth an amendment to the Iowa Constitution declaring that there is no right to an abortion under our state constitution. I think, to be fair and to be clear, only the most radical could twist the Iowa Constitution as it's written today into a pro-abortion document. But this amendment is written so clearly that even living constitutionalists wouldn't be able to twist it. So I'm proud to report that this May, the legislature passed it, and if all goes as planned, it'll be put before Iowa voters in 2024. But in the meantime, we're not waiting for the Constitution to change. We're continuing to defend life at every turn. Last June, I signed a 24-hour waiting period for those considering an abortion into law. And while that law is currently in district court, we continue to fight. As you know, I think Chuck alluded to this, there hasn't been a more exciting time to fight in decades as the United States Supreme Court prepares to consider the Mississippi statute protecting the unborn beyond 15 weeks gestation. There's a groundswell of support and supporters who are passionately and peacefully defending our God-given right to life and protecting our precious unborn. States all across the country have an obligation now to redouble their efforts, because after so long, we finally have a chance to move our cause forward in an unprecedented way and to restore the soul of our nation. We couldn't have gotten to this point without committed organizations like yours, giving your all every single day for the unborn. So I think thank you doesn't even seem enough, but thank you for being such steady soldiers in this fight. And as we look to the next year and a half, we desperately need to maintain and intensify our grassroots energy. were able, as our fathers intended, to defend our principles and fight back against an overzealous federal government. But only, we can only do that if our people stay engaged. Together, not only can we resist the inevitable attacks from Washington, but also we can build a robust alternative, one that protects faith, family, life, and our American values. We can do it. There's power in all of us. So as I close, I just want to say once again a heartfelt thank you. Thank you to each and every one of you. Thank you for the prayers. Thank you for the difference that you're making every single day. Thank you to the family leader for their steadfast leadership, especially during some truly, truly unprecedented times. Your organization was founded for the purpose of strengthening families by inspiring Christ-like leadership at home, in churches, and in government. A bold and ambitious mission, a mission as important today as it was the day that you started, and one that involves defending our principles as Americans and Christians on a daily basis. It's important for all of us as Christians and leaders to keep the faith and to quote that old saying, let go and let God, through him, all things are possible. God bless each and every one of you. God bless our great state. And God bless this amazing country that we have the honor of calling home. God bless you all. Keep up the good work.